Hello, everybody. We're here today for our podcast, Hovadia. We have with us a special guest for today, hopefully a frequent guest in our podcast, Rabbi Yehuda Peretz. Rabbi Yehuda Peretz, I know him for a long, long, long time. Maybe too long, but just kidding. So, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda Peretz is here. And I want to say one of the biggest aspects, the reason why I like Rabbi Peretz, and we're going to give him a few words to open up as well, is Rabbi Peretz is not a person who thinks per se like a Jew, in the sense that he's an insider, but yet he was an outsider. So he knows a lot how the goyim think about us. And I think it's personally very important for us to understand how to interact with the rest of the world, because the more Facebook we have, the more social media we have as part of, unfortunately and fortunately, of our lives, because it could be used good for bad, like even Torah, the Gemara says, can be used for good or for bad. And the reality is that with social media today, we are presenting ourselves as Jewish people more instantaneous to non-Jewish peoples, to Gentiles, to peoples of other faiths. So we also have to be careful not to hurt people's feelings or insult people, and at the same time get our Torah message across. And I think Rabbi Yehuda Peretz has always been able to do that and understanding how to do that, and at the same time also being a huge promoter to that community about Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. So Rabbi Yehuda, b'chavod, let's see. Yeah.
Shalom u'bracha, Rabbi Binyamin. For me, I want to first thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thanks Bor Olam, the creator of this great universe, for the privilege to be here with you. In parentheses, I always ask people to forgive me. English is not my main language, so sometimes I will have to use Spanish or Hebrew to just try to explain or to express myself. I want to thank you for the invitation to be here. For me, it's a really great privilege. And yes, as you say, I had the privilege long ago to do a big change in my life. I was a seeker. I tried to search for the truth. I was born in not a Jewish family. I was born in Mexico, Veracruz, in a Christian family. But I can tell you that I am very lucky, because also the place where I was born, in the same house, full of course, in a very primitive way probably, but full of Yirat Shamayim. My father was a very special person who was having the big fear of God. And I think we swallow, we absorb, we got great influence from my father. And since then, I am trying my best. Of course, I am not better than anybody else, but we are very sincere. We're trying to be very honest and to accept that upon us, that when we are wrong, we run to accept it. And I didn't know it's a great secret. When I came to Judaism, then I revealed that this is the principal force, let's say, the essence of a Jew. Judaism, Jewish, come from the idea of the name of Yehuda. Yehuda has the power of accepting that he was wrong when he did something, and to say in public, to accept it. This is a very powerful behave or secret. And then a person can transform and can change. And I didn't know this is a secret. By me, it was spontaneously. And therefore, I am very, very happy to be here with you today.
Oh, that's always... You mentioned your father. Can I ask a personal question?
Yes, of course.
Was your father accepting of you converting?
True, that is very...
I'm sorry, I'm asking you. I never asked this.
Yeah, no, you know, I like this question, because permit me to say great things. You see, as we said before, I try to always, when I talk to Jewish people or non-Jewish people, I try to explain myself, because I am coming from outside world. And of course, I don't represent every human, but I understand people because since I was very young, my father wants me to be instead of him. I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 18. Until my 18, I was already standing in front of the crowd and teaching things. And I am very sensitive to the crowd, and my sensors got the special power to be trying to understand everybody. And mainly was my father. When I convert, I knew the secret Judaism teach us, Yahadut teach us, that there is, as we say in Hebrew, emberacha ela adabarasam iminayim, there is no bless, ela in things under the ground when eyes don't see things. So until I was in the process to convert. Until I convert, I never say anything to nobody. After I converted, my family wants me to return to Mexico because I had the privilege to convert in Jerusalem. And I was lucky that I had, at that time, a great leader of Judaism, Rabbi Tzion of Shaul. And I asked them how to behave when I am going to return home in Mexico. So I received very beautiful and simple and profound idea how to behave. The rabbi said to me, if you used to mop the floor once a week, you mop the floor every day. If you used to wash the dishes once a day, you wash the dishes three times a day. And I said to the rabbi, what do you want from me? He said to me, listen, you're returning to non-Jewish home, fathers, parents that they are not Jewish. So psychologically, don't talk about Judaism, Christianism, or all these topics, which many times only are going to create
division or disputing, yeah. And then it becomes emotionally feeling, and then you get angry at each other.
So the rabbi said to me, what you have to do is, why you have to become a good boy in your home, because any parents, let's say, from any religions, even atheist parents, anybody, Muslim, Christian, whatever, if they will see his son returning to Judaism, and it means this child, this son, became a good boy in his home, and he's helping and working and listening to the parents, every normal parent will send all the kids to convert if this is the result. No? So I said, oh, very interesting. So that's what the rabbi said to me. You go home, and then you become a good boy in home, and then you will represent Judaism. That you're a good child. And because of this advice, when I returned home...
And who gave you this advice again?
Rabbi Tzion Aba Shaul.
Wow.
Yeah, long ago.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. He said to me, you only have to be a good boy, and then with this way you are going to represent Judaism, and everybody will love this kind of Judaism, yeah? Because if a child becomes a good boy, he cleans, he washes the dishes and everything, he's a good worker.
That's a great religion.
Yeah,
it's a religion
that
projects great musar and ethics to a person.
Then he said to me, for sure every parent will send all the kids to convert, you know, if this is a result. Who doesn't want this kind of result?
By the way, what you're saying right now with Rabbi Tzion Aba Shaul is not a novelty, but it is a novelty. It is something, a chidush, right? That's what novelty means. It is something that's unbelievable because a person has to understand, as a Jew, you represent a certain class of behavior.
Yes, yes. We are saying, let's say, we're talking about something very, very profound and at the same time very simple, okay? That the essence of Judaism is to become a giver. Long ago, when I was a Christian, I went to school and I studied architecture.
You are architect?
I didn't finish because I quit and I convert.
Okay. Wow. Rabbi architect, okay.
No, I didn't finish.
I'm learning new things about you after knowing you for over 15 years, okay?
Okay, but I didn't finish because I had the privilege to convert.
Okay, but, I understand.
But when I was studying in the school, I used to admire the revenge of the Jewish people. I observe, okay, I study about Jewish people. I never had the privilege to see any Jew when I was a Christian, okay? But I used to admire the revenge of the Jewish people. You know what is the revenge of the Jewish people? Only one, especially after the Holocaust. In any generation, Jewish people has only one way to do revenge, which is to return to be a giver, to return to be the best, to completely transform the present into a great future with wisdom. In any area, Jewish people continue being the best. And this kind of nekama, of revenge, this is the only secret, the great and profound secret of the Jewish people. Why? Where they had this secret of doing this kind of revenge? You know why? Where they study from? Because Jewish people, we know that our essence is to be like God. and God is only a giver. God is going to win this fight, the spiritual fight of incomprehension, a spiritual fight of being ignorance. Because the evil or the bad behave, it is coming from ignorance. People are not bad. Simply we don't know how to behave, and then we do so many mistakes. But how Hashem, God, is going to win this fight until the end of the days? With every person, He's only a giver. He's only giving love to all of us, even to the sinners. And this is going to make the transformation in the end of the days. So this is what Jewish people are doing. After the Holocaust, Jewish people behave like God, being the best. And you see until now? And this I used to admire. And I used to ask myself, where this power come from? How Jewish people used to, they behave this way. And therefore, this permit me to be very, very excited or very proud of knowing the title. You know, you have to know the Jewish Gentiles, usually who study Bible, are very jealous for the phrase of the Bible, which the Bible called the Jewish people, Banim Atem.
Yeah, no, the children of God or chosen children. People of God.
Yeah, I remember in Spanish we used to read the Psalms. Es la niña, la pupila de los ojos de Dios. The Jewish nation, the Mabat Enayim Shel Abore.
The
pupil of the eye.
The pupil of the eye of God.
The Bible says.
In Psalms, that's their translation.
Yes.
Wow.
And this is a very, you know, because I'm coming from this outside world, I see how Yetzer Ra, the Satan, confuses Jewish people. Satan confuses us for not appreciating what we have, because we are used to be Jew. And the outside world, they are so excited about Jewish people. They admire us so much. You don't have really, Jewish people don't understand how much Gentiles admire the privilege of a Jew. And I'm trying to just wake up the senses of the Jewish to appreciate the privilege for who we are, and to the Gentiles to try to give us in a small proportions of wisdom from the Bible. As you said before, we're trying to be very careful to give information, because information is power. It's like gafrit from the...
It's like the coals, like the coal of fire, the powder of the coal.
Okay, so that power is power, yeah, but...
Powder.
The powder of the power of the power of the gafrit for the...
You mean the match?
Yeah, the match.
Okay, the match.
You have a powder over there
Yes. I don't know what it's called.
Okay, but this is to make fire. This power, it can be used with the good heart of a good person, like energy for warming up houses or doing good things to cook something good. But this power can make also explosions or dynamites and can destroy the world. So acknowledge is power. And God, Hashem Yitzbarach, didn't give all many great secrets to everybody. Why? Because it's danger. So only people who has
it says in Gemara Masechet Brachot, Sukkah, if I'm not mistaken. Bnei Aliyah Raiti v'hen Mu'atin. What's the Kavanah? That not everybody who thinks he can grab the name of God can truly grab the name of God.
Oh, why? Because
meaning he's not worthy. Not everybody's worthy to really reach out to really know God in his full experience. And not everybody and we have a lot of people who can do it, who have done it, but they're very limited. They're very small.
Yeah.
So it's very true what he's saying, but. But obviously the revelation of you going to Judaism is probably a huge journey. Do you feel that maybe you were driven to it? Or maybe you were, let's say... Not driven. Driven means like you had a passion. Were you passionate about Judaism? Or was it because... Meaning, was it something that you were born with in a sense? Did you feel you were born with this magnetic... pull to Yahadu, to Judaism? Or was it more or less from your research and searching
about religion? I love your questions, you know. I love your questions. Very unique questions, you know.
Well, Rabbi, listen, if you don't...
Therefore, I'm very happy. If you will ask many questions like this, very unique, that are coming from your inside, then I will feel something new is coming to from me.
Because
people ask me the same questions, and
No, you shouldn't say this question is very... First, I want to give you where I get this background question. Because I try to find out, in many things that I do and interact with people, what is the reason why they're doing what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is the reason why?
So I have
What is the reason why, another question is, what is the reason why that, let's say, they don't confront their issue they would have with that person? And then another question will be, now, what's the reason why they don't confront? What is the reason when they do confront, they do it with such an anger tone? I mean, that's not what you're going to get. So the same thing with you. If you're coming to a point that you're saying that you were talking about Judaism and how you tried to be mitkayer, you went to Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul. Question is, was that something that you felt you were born inside of you or not? That's why I'm coming from,
more or less. Because you're saying many great questions, I will give you one probably new information, in my humble opinion, through my experience that Hashem gave me, maybe to give you, again, tools to try to understand all the questions that you ask. Long ago, when I came to Judaism, I studied, or Chazal, or Sayer said that the day they translate the Bible into these 70 languages, not the Tanakh, the Chumash, because it's false to say that they translate all the Bible, okay? They only translate the Pentateuch, the five books.
Not the five books, the Tanakh.
No. Targum al Shivim, ze lo nechon. They only translate...
Are you sure? Okay, we got to look that up. Yeah. But okay, let's take your word
for
it for now.
Very important, okay? It's only they translate only the Chumash. Not the Tanakh. Anyway...
Not the prophets and the writing.
Anyway, or Sayer said that that day was darkness in the world. So as a Christian who converted to Judaism, I was asking myself, by the way, since I converted to Judaism because I had the privilege to study and to seek for the truth and to first make sure the first step, let's say this way, I have to give a little bit more information. After I had the privilege to study and to have debates with Jewish people, when I decide to convert, I first make sure that Judaism is the absolute word of God, and this is the absolute truth. The revelation of Mount Sinai, which is a fact in history, and this is the base, by the way, for Christians or for Muslims, that the Bible is the holy word of God, okay? We're talking about the Old Testament. So then after I find out what I'm going to do, if I am dealing with something that is the truth, the 100% of the truth, then... Whenever I am coming to any verse in the Bible or any Dibre Chazal, if I don't understand, or because I don't agree, let's say, I don't agree, so I knew that the problem is on me and not by what Chazal said. This was the first thing I did. Okay? Because we think different and we have different information always, whoever comes from outside. So when I came to this part of the information that I received, that the day they translate the Bible, the Pentateuch into all the 70 languages, it was dark, and I was saying, how? Because of the merit of having a Bible in Spanish in Mexico and to read the Bible in Spanish in Mexico, I had the privilege to convert. So how come it was dark? Again, I didn't agree.
Basically, you're saying as follows. I just want to clarify. If the Talmud says that it was a dark day, right?
Yes.
When they translated.
Yes.
But in your opinion, you're saying, one second, how can it be a dark day? Because of these translations, 2,000-3,000 years later, about 2,000 years later, you're able to have some connection to Judaism, right? And that connection to Judaism gets you to you converting.
Yes.
So how's the darkness?
Beautiful.
That's your light.
Beautiful.
Very good. Okay.
Not only me, many other converts.
Of course.
And many Christians, they know more or less something. So why it was dark again? So the first step, because I don't agree, it doesn't mean I am right. It means I don't understand what Chazal says.
What the Talmud says. Okay. What the sages of the Talmud are saying.
And
okay.
Why? If I put this as a basic in my conscience or my self-conscience, then... If I don't agree, I understand the problem is by me and not by what Chazal said. And this will force me to increase comprehension or put attention in what Chazal said, and then you will receive an answer and listen what I receive as an answer. You can judge if it was from God, the answer, or I am living with illusions.
I don't think you're an illusionist.
So
but
I will tell you what, what I received to comprehend what is going in this. Okay, so what happened was, in order to explain what I understood, I invent a way to try to describe the idea. It is, let's say, when a person is he's hungry, and you know, in the day, usually everybody, when we are hungry, we don't have always the good food, the full of vitamins, good juice. We eat whatever we have close to us, potato chips, whatever. So what we do, we eat, but we don't care how much vitamins are going into our body, but we.
You appease the hunger.
Beautiful.
You appease the hunger.
Beautiful. Okay. Something like this. Now listen carefully to the idea. Beautiful idea. All the humans all over the world, we have the need, to eat the
right.
So the comparison is going to be...
It's a necessity.
It's a necessity, to eat. Is the spirit, we have necessity also to eat the truth. Listen carefully now to the idea. So every human all over the world, all of us, we have the necessity for to eat, the necessity for to eat the truth. But because we, in our incomprehension, or in our understanding of all of us, we are different. We have so and so amount of knowledge. That means the truth or the need of the truth is different, let's say 5%, 10%, 20%, 50% in each of all of us in the world. But the 5% of the person, for example, in him is the 100% of the truth. You understand the idea more or less?
Yeah.
So because we all are different and we have different levels of the need of the desire of to have the absolute truth, by all of us, the 5% or the 10% or the 50% is 100% of all of us. That means what? Now you understand why it was dark. Because if they want to translate the Bible into no language, what will happen all over the world? All the Gentiles, when they will have to fulfill the need of the truth, they are thirsty, they are hungry to eat the truth. But by the non, without offending, okay? But by the non-Jewish people, there is no absolute truth, because if there is only one truth, there is only one truth, okay? So if there is no translation into no languages, when any Gentile will have the need to fulfill the truth, and there is no truth outside of the world. So all the Gentiles will come to the one who represents the Torah, the Bible, and they will learn from the one who receive it. But since they translate into every language, then what will happen is that everybody is going to fulfill, they were going to feed their needs. But when they will fulfill their needs, 5% or 10%, which is all the, how we say, for the same person who has 5%, for example, is his 100%. Yeah, but what happened is when they translate the Bible, and then without offending, but there are thousands of thousands of people, good people, okay, with good heart, but they are trying to represent the Bible. Not Jewish people are trying to represent the Bible when they are dealing only with the translation, for example, in English or in Spanish, and they don't even understand the profound secrets who has the original language. And therefore, when we translate or try to explain the Bible, or anybody who read the Bible, they are going to fulfill their needs. But instead of coming to learning from the correct people, they are eating, and they are, I will say in Hebrew, they eat
and they burp, right?
And instead of coming to continue seeking for the absolute truth and to give their life to defend the absolute truth, they are using the truth to eat and to fulfill, to feed their needs, spiritual needs, and they don't come.
Right, so let me plug in a little bit what you just said right now. Let me plug in a little bit what you said.
I want you to say it.
All right, I'm going to plug in right now what you're saying. I want to plug in.
I want to.
Right, so the reality is, the way I'm seeing is as follows. Just to explain it much in a...
Yeah, I want to say what you are...
I'm going to tell you what it is. Okay, so I understand it as follows. And tell me if I'm wrong. Basically, what's happening is every soul is a truth seeker.
Yes.
There is not one soul who does not want to know the truth about anything, whether it's in his personal life, about his spouse, whether it's about his children, whether about his parents, whether about his politics in the work, politics in society.
Parenthesis stopping you. But these are...
But one second, let me just finish this point.
Yeah, but I know. But what you are saying now...
I'm giving a plug-in. A plug-in means basically, let me explain to you. Let me expand. Okay. It's called an expanse to what you're saying. Okay, just be patient. Okay. So everyone has the idea of a truth seeker.
Yes.
Okay. Now we know that the Torah is its ultimate truth.
Yes.
And when back then, before the Greeks...
Translated. Jewish translating to
Torah. Right, before it was translated, well, the Greeks translated, forced the translation, right? Back then, when there was coming to a translation, before a translation, who did they seek consultation to the Torah and its interpretation of its truth? The sages. The Tamidei Chachamim, the Sanhedria, the kings of Israel. Now, what ends up happening? The moment you translate it, you gave an opportunity for non-experienced peoples who don't understand the Torah to the way it's supposed to be delivered, to start making interpretations of the truth of Torah to a different truth, which most likely could be a falsehood, in fact, mm-hmm. of what the truth really means. Mm-hmm. So the interpretation becomes the darkness.
Oh.
That's what the Chazal are saying. That's Great. What you're saying.
This.
The interpretation Therefore. Of what is now going to be created. So now what ends up happening? Now you end up creating many religions end up coming out of the Jewish religion. Because of this
therefore
interpretation. And therefore, that's where the darkness came from. That means the power, not necessarily the power of control.
Because
there's no monopoly in Torah. Anyone who says there's monopoly in Torah, he's a fool, right?
Yes.
But what we're saying now is that this level of interpretation has now been given, we gave the right of interpretation without giving the right. It became an automatic right to anyone who now reads those translations.
Make it more powerful.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, again, without offending, I love the world, I love everybody.
And when we're here to talk the Torah truth.
Yes, that's what we're here.
Torah truth, life truth, whatever truth we need to talk about.
I want to make sure that everybody who will listen to this conversation is coming from, as much as we can say, from the deep part of our heart, honestly, as a good friends, because we want this world to be changed for good, peaceful, and therefore, acknowledge will permit or will be with the help of God to everybody to understand details, maybe simple details, but very profound if you put attention in there.
Okay.
So what we're saying, interpretation. You remind me when I was a child, probably in America also, we used to sit together, all the children's a round table, and I say, and my friend who is next to me, and he's here, I say one word, the second dozen year. So he will pass until the end.
It's different.
It's autobus. I say monkey.
Right, right.
Oh, because to pass it over. Okay. When I came to Judaism and I saw, as with all the difficulties in the history, how Jewish people try to be humble enough to say, I am saying exactly what I received from my ancestors that received from their ancestor until Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the telephone. This is the information that we must be very extra careful, and therefore are thousands of halachot, of laws, how to write exactly, even to write the Bible in a specific way, because any minimum of any change, pasul, that's it. This is no more kosher. It must be fixed, because we are trying to understand that the absolute truth, if it's the truth, it cannot be touched or moved, anything, nothing, even for the smaller thing. So, but I want to say for about the interpretation. Think about the atomic bomb. Listen to this example, beautiful. To make understand everybody what darkness is. Okay, you bought an atomic bomb. You're a very nice guy. You have it in your home, atomic bomb, very powerful and dangerous machine. You are very smart. And there are 10 buttons. For just an example that I invent, okay?
Okay.
So there are 10 buttons how to use and to conserve the atomic bomb in your home. And you're very smart. Button number one, you understand what it says over there. The phrase is clear. Button number five, the phrase, it is a little bit difficult to understand because you can understand differently, a few ways to interpret it. I give you three options, I said to everybody. Option number one, you call the company, okay? Option number two, you're very smart and you realize in your comprehension, but there you understand that if you make a mistake, you explode and that's it, no more human. Option number three, you pray to the Holy Spirit. You start to say, Holy Spirit, please tell me what is the interpretation of this phrase. So which option you take, usually, if you are normal, and you understand the consequence if you make a mistake. Everybody said to me, yeah, I will call the company. Oh, I said to them, why you will call the company? Not because we are humble or because we care about the company.
Because you don't want to blow up.
Because everybody understands very clear that if you take the two other options, you don't realize in the Holy Spirit in that moment. Why I say what I am saying? Because when I had a debate, one of the things, again, many more information, one of the things that the rabbi had to me make clear as a Christian who came to try to have a debate with the Jewish people about the Bible he had. So the rabbi knew psychologically my problem as a Christian that we are going to interpret it the way we want it. And therefore, he gave me this example before in order for me not to intend to interpret it. Why? So the rabbi said to me, with this analogy, he said to me, listen, if the Gentile world, with all the respect, if they will know that the Bible is more than an atomic bomb, every phrase of the Bible can destroy or create wars. If the Gentile will know that the relationship of this book, because atomic bomb can destroy it only a few kilometers around you, but if you interpret any verse of the Bible, you can destroy wars. If you will know this is the topic, nobody will come to interpret the Bible. Nobody will do that. And as a good Christian who I used to be, Rabbi forced me and said to me, and framed me, asking me, tell me, are you serious? Are you coming to do the will of God, or you want to do whatever you want? Because when I start to interpret it, that means I want to do whatever I want. And I didn't came for it. I came to, maybe, if you prove me that this is the absolute word of God, okay, then I will listen. Okay, this is very important to understand. And without offending, most of the world would like to give our own opinion. And because I am coming from the Christian world, and I had a debate with everybody, okay, Muslim, atheist, Hinduism, anybody, you know, by Christians, without offending, there are thousands or dozens of denominations of Christians, ideas, or political, or leaders, without offending, everybody's nice, yeah, but I used to ask their opinion of everybody. Then when I came to Judaism, and I knew I'm not coming to give my own opinion. I am coming to try to be humble enough to give the opinion of God for it. We have to be very sensitive, very humble, and to eliminate our own comprehension, or own, because comprehension, all comprehension comes from our own ideas that we invent, because we always are dealing with metaphysic ideas, because every word is a metaphysic idea, and all of us, we understand differently, and this is the problem, and this is the main thing.
You just took something out of my mind. I was thinking about the word comprehension. I think not only is it about interpretation, it's about comprehension. Mm-hmm. Interpretation is one factor. Mm-hmm. Comprehension is another factor. Mm-hmm. If you don't comprehend the ideas of the Torah and of the Judaism in itself, you cannot even begin to interpret.
Right.
And what we have even in our own communities.
Or they will interpret it the way they want.
Because what I want to tell you was as follows. Well, you told me, you said a few things I want to just analyze a little bit here, if you don't mind.
Yes.
One was with your father. The other one is that you went to the rabbis to try to debate them, right? That was your goal, right?
Mistake.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But it's okay. But I learned something in life that people usually do. It's and it comes from the term in the Gemara, obviously. Aposel bechavero b'mumo pasul, right? Yeah. What does that mean?
Say it in English.
A person when he sees someone else,
something wrong, and others.
Not necessarily wrong. A person will always project himself to others.
Again.
That's always. He will project like a projector of himself to someone else. Mm-hmm. So your father wanted a certain vision for yourself. Every father wants a vision for his child. Mm-hmm. But sometimes a father and a mother have to understand that vision for your child might not necessarily be it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like you can't expect your child to be a doctor, you know, because you're a doctor. You can't expect your child to be this because you're that. I mean, one thing you can expect your child, if you raise them properly, is to be a good Talmid Chacham, a good Bachur Yeshiva, Bachur Torah, a boy of Torah and boy of Judaism. That's already that religious part of that. That's a spiritual livelihood and, lifestyle that he has to, absorb to himself. So what I've noticed, that this whole thing you're saying is not necessarily just subject to Gentiles. Yes, it's a Gentile concept where now they have some sort of power of interpretation of our Torah, which they never had if it wasn't for that moment of translation. Mm-hmm. They probably never would have it. Which besides, I want to ask you a bigger question before that. The biggest question is, many people might not know this, when Yeshua came into the land of Israel, he was commanded to build a stone that translated the Torah into 70 languages.
Who are you talking about?
Yeshua, Joshua.
Oh, listen.
When Joshua came into the land of Israel, he made a stone of the Torah translated into 70 languages.
Yeshua,
Moses' Moshe Rabbeinu's student. Yehoshua Hanavi, came into Eretz Israel,
yes,
built a huge stone into the entry point of Eretz Israel,
yes,
and he established the 70 languages on the stone of the Torah, Bitirgum. He basically had to translate the Torah, and that's what happened.
Yes.
But I think realistically speaking, the problem is not that the translation itself. I think it's more so.
Yes. As I said,
the problem is that they did not want the Torah to be translated from them to understand and go to the rabbis for the translation. The Greeks wanted the Torah to be translated for their own personal gain.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
that means happened. They wanted to project the Torah with their religion for their own personal gain. And that's the failure, I think. When the Torah is being used for bad or good. Because why doesn't the Chazal say when Yeshua translated it? Yeshua Navi translated the Torah. Why wasn't it a Choshech? Yeshua Navi, the prophet. Moses' student. I got you. It can confuse people. Yeshua Hanavi. Yeshua Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu's student, translated the Torah in 79. But I think there's another chidush over there. He translated the Torah to the entry point of Eretz Israel, of Israel. Back then, you cannot live in Israel if you were not either a ger toshav, right?
Or a
Jew. They didn't let outsiders live in Israel. It's our land. What are you living in Israel? Right? There was no, by core, a democratic state in Israel. There was powers of three. You had the king, you had Sanhedrin, you had the Nisi'im, you had the powers of three. And then you had subject, Sanhedrin, and we always had distribution of power.
What do you want to say, the idea?
That when you come into the land of Israel, Yeshua made it clear that any guest who came, because don't forget, the rest of the world had a right to bring korbanot to the Beit HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have a right to bring korban edava. Right? They had, even in time of the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash, they had a right to tell those people, you walk into this land, you're subjugated to the laws of the Torah.
Yeah.
That was the purpose.
I
think that was the meaning behind. Yeah. That's the difference between why there was not darkness, here was darkness. Because in the time of the Greeks, they took away the power of interpretation and they want to bring it to other societies.
So let me return to as an answer for what you asked me, many questions, you remember?
Right.
This idea that I give it to you is because you ask me many questions. Before, as an example, I want to say, for example, the Bible in Genesis, the beginning of the yearning of the Bible in Genesis, Bereshit, it says, Na'aset Adam Betzalmenu. Let's make, when God is creating the Adam,
in
the
our
first
image.
Human, so he used the word of plural, Na'aset, let's make. So as an interpretation of God forbidden of non-religious people, when they read in the beginning of the yearning God who's speaking to, and they, God forbidden, they are saying he was speaking to, God forbidden, to that idea of Jesus Christ. So first of all, we have to make sure to understand that if a person want to see, for example, red color outside in front of him, he simply has to put a glasses with a red glass, and everything will be red, okay?
Right.
So when a person wants to see something, he will see it in every verse in the Bible. Why don't you ask Jewish people what is the reason why the Bible says, let's make, God is talking in plural, why? So at least people should know. One of the great reasons is because why it says let's make in plural, because if God will write in the Bible I will make the man, so then the robber or the killer is, when God is going to try to bring him to Mishpat,
to judgment,
he will say,
God, you made me
this way. So Hashem says, let's make, because listen carefully, Bible is teaching us, God is talking to all of us, any human all over the world, Jew or no Jew, and he give an invitation, personal invitation.
That both we and God
telling
have to.
Us, God says to us, to all of us, Na'aseh et Adam, I will create you, I will give you everything, but I will give you the free will, and I invite you, let's make the man. Oh, maybe beautiful interpretation of what is correct to interpret it, and has this example is all the Bible, and I, as a Christian in my previous life, and start to understand that the main thing over here are two. One, what is really my desire? For example, I remember when the rabbi said to me, I believe that Christians or Gentiles in general, all the religions in the world, everybody, they also want to do the will of God, but in the way they want it. And the only differentiation between Jewish or Gentiles is the Jewish people, we are trying to do the will of God in the way God wants it. We are forcing to try to do what God says in the Bible. Not without opinions, without having extra information. It's enough. The truth must be clear, must be clean. It's not expecting from us to add our personal interpretation. When we will first absorb the starting of the acknowledge of what the Torah says, and then you can build based on all this clean information in your conscience or your subconscious, then you must give your personal opinion, which is the view of the Zavit, how you say Zavit, the angle of the acknowledge that you receive from our sayers, but then will be your own angle basic in the clean information that you have, because in the end, any expression, any interpretation by anybody is built up in their own acknowledge they receive. But when they receive the acknowledge, not from the straight source of the correct and clean person who is clean, this is what going all the world.
Everybody's so in reality thinking. Speaking, to conclude this point, I'll give you a last statement after this, right? The reality, basically, a person has to truly, when he's learning Torah or involving himself to get closer to God, which is, you know, interesting enough, I want to quote a book that I'm reading right now by Jordan Peterson, very huge psychologist today. And he writes in the introduction of his book that the search for the divine, right? Divine means God. The search for the divine is only what brings a person to true happiness. A psychologist writes that. Why? Because a person has to understand that there's something above him to change himself. But if he says that, like you said, oh, I am what I am, and that's what God created me for. So if you're a murderer, if you're a stealer, God created me in this fashion, so that means I have to be that way. But no, that's not the ultimate point. God created you in a fashion that makes you take the challenge of making yourself a real man.
By the way, God didn't create a killer as a killer. It's simply the debility, the passions, or the defects of a person who he is his, but not God. He didn't create his.
No, he created whatever he created, and whatever he brought you to this world is for you to achieve beyond what you've done. And obviously, one thing I can definitely say that I'm taking away from here, like one of the takeaways here, is that a Jewish person has to stop thinking as an interpretator, as an outsider, which means stop projecting your opinion on the actual text of the Torah.
Oh.
Stop doing that. Because when you stop doing that, you then eventually stop doing that in everything you do in reality in life. Whether you work with people, whether you have with your children, with your parents, with your wives, and obviously parents with their kids, you know, everybody.
Why we fight in the married life?
God because says, we're what's the reason?
I try to say this to myself. I said to everybody and to myself, please, from now on ever, don't do what you understood from her or she. Don't do what you understood from him. Let's try to be so more sensitive to do what they meant. Because in the end, when I do what I understood, that means I do what I want to understand from what she says. And then we fight.
The falsehood of interpretation.
Oh, because we want to interpret it. Let's be more sensitive to.
And so the biggest problem we have here, and this is the biggest limud we have here, is interpretation and projection of your interpretation.
Yes.
That means you project your actions based on whatever you interpret. And the biggest failure is that if you do not put in the mix proper comprehension, right, where you can comprehend information. So ultimately, your answer,
For the comprehension.
You have to truly understand how to comprehend information.
To comprehend correctly is, listen, to understand basically that the perspective of my comprehension is to be a giver. Listen carefully. When I decide in my subconscious, deep part of myself, only to be a giver, I will comprehend how to comprehend my wife, because I just want to give. I don't want to receive. If I don't
Basically, I know what you're saying. You're basically saying that giving breaks the projection.
Ah.
By giving, you're breaking your projection
and
that you're that
which
you're breaking your narcissism. You're breaking your narcissistic behavior. You're breaking your selfishness. You're breaking your self-centeredism, which is the most important part in anything you do.
And then the comprehension is going to be to comprehend others, to understand your wife, because you want to give her.
Just your wife, that's everybody.
I'm saying
that. I understand, but I always try to tell
your
people. I always try to tell people that how can you have a relationship with someone else, anyone else, if you don't even know how to have the relationship with yourself?
I say when I was a Gentile, I come back. This is what I say. I am getting married not because I want to run away from my situation. No. I will get married, Bezat Hashem, maybe when I first start to love myself, to comprehend myself, to accept myself, and then I can accept somebody into my life. Otherwise,
how can you do
you're
that?
going from travels to untravels.
And that only comes from giving.
Mainly, listen, if we understand deep, this is deep. We're going to talk about
for sure.
Many conversations.
But I have to throw this in the mix. I just read this recently, it's like mind-boggling. If you learn really, by the way, one rabbi told me, if you really learn the right way, God gives you things that you need in conversation. I read in a recent sefer from Chaim Palagi, the definition of peace, of shalom, is defined by tzedakah.
It's a give, you see.
It's a giver. If you're not a giver, then you cannot be a person who can create peace. The ultimate ability to be a person of peace is being a person who's a giver. But if you're self-centered and you're a taker, there will never be peace.
You remember about the revenge?
Give. Yes, that's unbelievable.
Baruch Hashem. I am happy to
Baruch Hashem. This is not the only time we're going to have Rabbi Peretz. We're going to have him many, many times. This is the week of Pashat Emor. We're in May 16th, the 27th of the Omer. I wish everybody bracha v'atzlacha.
I want to
much
say,
success. Go for the closing.
Always say, if I try to remember myself and to say to everybody, if any conversation, any debate, or any speaker, anybody, in the end doesn't bring us to God, to the Creator, then we are chote.
That means it's a waste.
The purpose for us is to come to Hashem, to God, to find Hashem.
V'davek b'Hashem. Cleave to God.
The only purpose of my conversation is going to be, I hope, Bezat Hashem, in the end, to come to God. That's it. Through the one who represented. And Bezat Hashem, we will have more conversation if God permit us the life. And I'm very happy that you invite me today. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Be well. Bracha v'atzlecha. Much respect.